Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Ian Rappaport joins us each Wednesday at 2:15. Ian, how are you, man?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Let's talk a little NFL, man. Yesterday, NFL trading deadline, a lot of Titans fans were hoping that the team would acquire a wide receiver. They did not. Did you hear of any smoke regarding the Titans and a possible move?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. They were in the mix. I think they investigated, everything more, probably more Demaryius Thomas than Golden Tate. But I know they were interested. I know they were making phone calls and doing due diligence. I think at the end it just got too expensive. And, I absolutely understand why fans wanted a wide receiver.
Yeah.
I really do. I 100% get it. But to me, it's just not something you mortgage the future for. It's really just not something that you say, oh, we're going to, giving a second round pick for Amari Cooper was something that to me would have been a pretty good price. Multi-year Pro Bowl receiver who's 24, has a good future. That would make sense to me, but, giving up a fourth-round pick for Demaryius Thomas would be a, one-year, half-year rental, or a third-round pick for Golden Tate who would be a half-year rental, then, probably cost more than $10 million next year and would be 31. To me, that would not make a lot of sense for the Tennessee Titans.
Do you think the fact that they only had four draft picks last year might have caused them to have a little pause with regard to unloading some draft picks for, as you said, a rental player?
Yeah, I mean, I think so, although they, were willing to, but just for the right price. And I think that was, there were some teams that are generally extremely value conscious, the Patriots, the Titans, the Lions, who, basically either did nothing or were sellers. I think, again, I know fans, I totally get that fans want a receiver, but at what cost? You can talk all about that, you want, but if in 2 years the special teams are bad, or, you don't get that starting linebacker that you needed, you have to overpay in free agency because you don't have a third round pick, that's something that affects the team. And it's John Robinson's job to be wary of all of those things rather than just, getting a guy for 8 games who you'd have to come in, learn the system, play right away. I mean, that's a lot to ask for a new player.
Ian Rappaport with us, NFL insider for NFL.com and the NFL Network.
Of the trades that did get made, Ian, which one do you see helping a team the most, propelling them the farthest? Which team do you see getting the most juice from something they did before the trade deadline?
I guess to me, I would say, I think the Patriots and Josh Gordon probably would be number one, but that was a couple weeks ago. Probably Demaryius Thomas. That's one that makes a lot of sense. They needed a receiver. They lost Will Fuller. So that was one where it's like they had a need. They probably overpaid. I think they're okay with that. They just had to get a receiver, and this was the best one that fits their system that was available. So I think because of an injury, they had to get one, and they got one. And, he should contribute right away.
Is there a player, or are there players you were ultimately surprised did not get moved?
I'm surprised that Janoris Jenkins did not get moved. I know he had a market. I thought the Giants were going to end up dealing him. The Patriots were a team that I know were into corners. So that made a lot of sense. He's also expensive, but if you're for a corner anyway, that's probably around the salary you'd spend. I thought he was going to get moved. I thought the Giants would kind of continue selling, and the fact that they didn't was surprising to me.
Ian Rappaport with us at Rapsheet on Twitter. Ian, Ty Montgomery basically got cut. I mean, 2027th rounder. Is the backstory as simple as what we saw unfold over the weekend?
Don't make Aaron Rodgers mad, right?
No, I think it's more than that because, you know, players have differing values and are sort of allowed to do different things. So basically, yes, I mean, I think he disobeyed coach's orders by running it out. The explanation was fine. I get it. You know, I understand what he was talking about. Didn't take responsibility. I think that was an issue. There was a little frustration in the locker room. That was an issue. But really, it's just the main overarching thing was he didn't have much of a role. He was a starting running back at one point. He was replaced in the lineup. You know, if he wasn't going to be a kick returner you can trust, then is he even going to be active on game day? A third running back who doesn't play special teams, like sometimes those guys aren't even active. Yeah. So to get a future pick, clear kind of an issue up from the team, made a lot of sense to just dump him. And I know Baltimore had been, you know, spent a lot of time looking for a running back, so makes sense.
I feel like we should just keep asking you this every week. So the Star Weekly Le'Veon Bell update, looks like no change maybe again.
Yeah, I mean, I know people, people sort of expected him to show up after the trade deadline, and he didn't. You know, I thought he was going to show up today, just like I thought he was going to show up week one, and he didn't. So, yeah, I mean, he stays away, and James Conner's going to continue to be the guy. And, you know, he's got to show up by November 14th. And if he doesn't, then he's not going to play this year. Number 13th, I should say. There's a reason he can't just not show up. It's because the Steelers could transition him next year, too, at a pretty cheap value, or tag him again at the same value. He literally has to show up and play, but he really has weakened his position as far as, you know, what kind of money he could get or what, you know, what the Steelers could do, because now that transition tag, giving them the opportunity to match whatever contract he gets, is actually a viable option.
Any early guesses on the next Browns head coach after the Hugh Jackson nightmares ended?
I really don't. I do think Lincoln Riley would be a viable candidate, although I would imagine that Oklahoma will step up and do everything it can to make sure he doesn't go anywhere. Mike McCarthy is an interesting one if things don't go well in Green Bay. They got a really tough schedule coming up. You know, could he be sort of the next Andy Reid as far as a successful longtime coach finding employment somewhere else? You know, I think that would be something to watch. Otherwise than that, I mean, it's kind of the same, you know, coaches that we know. It's hard to hire one. At some point, Hugh Jackson was kind of the hot, you know, coaching candidate, had a lot of options in different places he could go, and ended up in Cleveland, and it all went badly. So, yeah, I mean, they're sort of in the same
personnel. I think there's a lot of SEC fans besides Alabama fans hoping they'll offer Nick Saban $15 million or something to try to get him to leave.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
He could go home, you know, his first stop there in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, could you imagine Terry Saban just saying, all right, we're going to leave Tuscaloosa and go live in Cleveland. I just can't see it.
Again.
You know, he could live in Lake Erie. He'd have to have a lake house there like he does down here.
Hey, with the trading deadline coming and going yesterday, does that leave Dez Bryant with an opportunity now, finally?
If he has one, I do not know about it. You know, I don't think the Titans would be interested, if that's what you mean. I'm just not sure they think the performance would be good enough. I think they think that whoever else they have will be better. And that is, you know, interesting. But that is what they think, and, you know, obviously, teams agree because he hasn't been signed yet, you know?
Right.
Dirk Koetter saying the starting quarterback will be a week-to-week thing in Tampa. So I'll ask you a two-part question. Do you think he and Jameis are back? Do you think neither are back next year, or does one maybe survive without the other?
Well, you know, if Jameis Winston is the starting quarterback of the future for the Bucs, he's got to play a lot better. I mean, you know, you don't know what's going to happen to the rest of the season. Maybe Fitzpatrick gets injured and, you know, Jameis comes in and saves the day. I mean, who knows? But he's not the answer right now. And, you know, they've invested 4 years in him. And he's going to make $20 million next year. So you better be sure what you're getting. Hard to imagine at this point that they actually do that. And then, you know, for Dirk Koetter, I mean, 35 is defensive coordinator. They have not won. There's friction with his starting quarterback. I mean, I think that's, you know, we'll see what happens. But I think a lot of people are playing for a lot of things in Tampa. I really do.
Ian Rappaport, Rap Sheet on Twitter, NFL Insider for NFL Network and NFL.com, host of Rap Sheet and Friends podcast, which you typically drop right after you leave the air with us. What's coming up on the next one?
It's already up, actually.
Oh, yeah.
We got Les Snead breaking down the Dante Fowler trade, which was pretty cool and interesting. Big news yesterday, details the whole process. Really cool interview. So that's, I just posted that on Twitter. So it's up right now.
There you go. At Rap Sheet. Thank you, Ian. We'll talk with you next week after the Titans, Cowboys Monday Nighter.
All right. Thank you guys.